If you've ever been in with a group of people that have been all torn up with a big argument, and a solution has been found for the trouble, so that things were settled quietly in peace, you'll know what relief really is. If your heart has been concerned about how a church would get along, and then you find the church all torn in a big argument, you will know what distress is, because you will know that as long as they argue, they won't work. And as long as they're arguing with each other, they're not making any progress. And then when the time comes that they find a way of settling their differences, and they get together in a way of working together, your heart can be so at peace. Now, this is what happened in the early church. In chapter 15 in the book of Acts, we have the story. And we've been studying this, and we've seen that they had a great big problem, a big question. How does a Gentile become a Christian? Do you have to become a Jew first and then become a Christian? And you will remember that when they came together to argue about the matter and to discuss it all the way through, Peter got up and told them, "You will remember that God personally told me go to the house of Cornelius, and I preached there, and God gave them the Holy Spirit." He gave them the Holy Spirit when they weren't Jews. They didn't have to become Jews. God gave them the Holy Spirit right then and there. And if God gave them the Holy Spirit, I don't see how we could hold back from it. So said Peter. After that was done, they turned around to listen to Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas and Paul told them from their missionary work, the missionary journey, the results they'd had among the Gentiles. They'd gone to people who didn't know the gospel. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know about the law of Moses. They didn't know about the tabernacle or about the temple and about the sin offering or any of those things. They didn't know about circumcision. But they heard the gospel. They understood that Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, sent the Lord Jesus Christ as his Son to be their Savior. They understood that through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'd be reconciled to God and that God would be with them. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God was with them, gave them the Holy Spirit, and worked signs and wonders among them, confirming the whole thing. So Barnabas and Paul told them over and over again. It worked here, it worked there, it worked there, it worked there, here and there, and everywhere it had gone, to where the gospel was preached and these people believed, God gave the Holy Spirit, and they had everything that we wanted them to have. By the time they were through with what they had had to say, James got up and said, "Now the Bible said this very thing was going to happen," and quoted to them from Scripture how the Bible had said that the Gentiles would come and seek shelter in the gospel and in the care of the Messiah, of the Christ, that in him would the Gentiles trust. Now when they had all these things together, they came to a conclusion, and this is the conclusion we're going to reach, and we're going to read. I want you to notice that in this conclusion, it didn't mean that one side had to come over and take the position of the other side. That is not what it meant. Both sides agreed to solve the matter in a certain way which they believed to be in the will of God. And this is what we read in chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." This was an act that everybody agreed to. Now, I think that while we can expect that in the course of a debate, in the course of an argument, we may not have 100% agreement. We may not ever get to the place where our judgment is unanimous. But our action can be. Now keep that in mind. The action can be. I may agree to work with a man whose ideas are not my ideas. I think he is limited. I think some of the things he says is wrong. But he agrees with me that the important thing to do is to preach the gospel to the poor. Get it out to the people. Win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it. He believes it. We work together. He's got one idea of some aspect of the Bible. I've got a different idea about that aspect of the Bible. And if we were to talk about that, we'd quarrel. We would dispute. We'd argue. But we both believe that the sinner needs to be saved. So we work together with this sinner that he needs to be saved. So on occasion I'll find people that have a way of interpreting the Bible I cannot believe it at all. I have a way of interpreting the Bible they think isn't adequate. They think I just don't know the truth. We both think children should learn the gospel. We both think that children should learn what's in the Bible. So we'll work together in the Sunday school. We may work in the same department. We don't agree on the interpreting of Scripture. One of us is more right than the other and always is true. One opinion isn't as good as another opinion. Some people know more and some people know less. But here we find ourselves together on the teaching of the children in the Sunday school. We all agree on that, so we work together on that. This was the case here. When these people came together and made a decision, it was with one accord. They all agreed to make this decision. And one more time, let me tell you, this does not mean that they all agreed that the Pharisees were wrong, or they all agreed that Paul was wrong, or all agreed that Paul was right. That's not the point. They all agreed on this solution of the whole matter, and this is the solution they agreed upon. They decided to send certain men of their own company down to Antioch from the church in Jerusalem. And by the way, they sent chief men among the brethren. Can you recognize the importance of that? That's doing honor to the young church at Antioch. If they had sent well-meaning but lesser men, it wouldn't have seemed the same. If they had sent two unknown, obscure men down there, it wouldn't have seemed the same. They wouldn't have been honoring them as much. They sent the most important men they had over there to Antioch to explain what the mother church in Jerusalem had decided to do. They wrote a letter for them to take so there'd be no question about it. They put it down in black and white so that it could be seen. They wrote letters by them after this manner, and here's the letter. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pause there for a moment. That's all one sentence. I wonder if you felt the courtesy and the consideration implicit in this statement. This is the mother church writing it to a younger church. These are the people at Jerusalem writing to Gentile Christians. And they are saying to them, they're stating the case. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. That's what they troubled them with, was with words. It wasn't what they did, it was what they said. Subverting your souls means disturbing you, upsetting you. It's really that word, subverting, could be upsetting. Upsetting your hearts and upsetting your minds, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. That is to say, they were not authorized to go down and say those things. They had never been sent to go down and say those things. Everything they did voluntarily. They did for themselves. But since they did it, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, this is our unanimous judgment, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Now, do you remember who Barnabas and Paul were? Barnabas and Paul were the outstanding preachers of Antioch. Did you get that idea? See, now the big question is whether those Greeks down there in Antioch could become Christian without first becoming Jews. And the church has just now decided, yes. And the men who represented those Greeks was Barnabas and Paul. They had come up and speaking for the whole issue. And now they are going to send certain men back with them. But did you notice how they referred to Barnabas and Paul? Our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they remembered about Barnabas and Paul. That these were men who had hazarded their lives about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would help a great deal in church argument and in church discussion and in church quarrels, if we would remember what God has done with the man on the other side of the argument, whatever the argument may be. Now, there will be some things, don't misunderstand me, there will be some things in church discussion that is not open to argument. I wouldn't count this as the true in every difference of opinion. We have difference of opinion where there is no possibility of getting together. One man will say the Bible is not the Word of God. Another man says it is the Word of God. Well, now, as far as I'm concerned, you don't get together on that. No, but of those people who do say that the Bible is the Word of God, they can have different ideas. And those are the ones who can get together. Now, when these people did this, when the church was getting along with those people down in Antioch, who were the ones who were interested in the outcome, they referred to Barnabas and Paul, who were their preachers, as men that had hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they sent certain men down with them. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, and I drew your attention to the fact these were outstanding men, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. And then comes the same decision that we had read earlier. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How would you know what seemed good to the Holy Spirit? In prayer. And when they were gathered together in prayer and meditation, thought about this, they all felt the same in their hearts, and they decided that that came from the Holy Spirit. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols. We've already referred to that, that you should live a separated life. Don't be like the pagan people. And from blood and from things strangled. Don't offend the Jews. And from fornication. Don't get involved in unclean things. From which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. A kindly, considerate, comforting message, courteously given to these people who had reason to think that someone was questioning their spiritual experience. If you study that and think about it and your heart and mind is open to it, you will see there is a way in which you can get along with people with whom you differ. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And believe me, courtesy is always helpful. And here we find out these men, these people in this early church, they wanted to find a solution that would leave them all good friends, and that's possible. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to see thy ways and to walk in them. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.